Let's open our Bibles to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. On Sunday mornings, we've been going through this Gospel, and we've come to chapter 2 and verse 41. I'll begin reading here in a moment. So when you find it, if you're able to stand with me. If you need to remain seated for health reasons, that's fine. But I'm in Sunday school. Luke, chapter 2 and verse 41. Notice the Bible says, "Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem." Look at this. "And Joseph and his mother knew it not." Where is he?
Right.
"But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey. And they sought him among their kinsfolks and acquaintance, and when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him." How many have ever lost a child? Well, I'm going to preach to you this morning and to myself. I'm going to tell you a story here in a little bit. "And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers.
Amen.
And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, 'Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing.' And he said unto them, 'How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business?'
Amen.
And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And when he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them, but his mother kept all these sayings in her heart.
Amen.
And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man."
Amen.
Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your goodness. I pray, Lord, that you'd bless this message.
Thank you.
Lord, use your word to bring glory to yourself and draw men to yourself. We do ask if someone's here today that is not saved, that they would recognize today who Jesus Christ is and what he did for them, that they might repent of their sin and trust Christ as their Savior. But then for those of us that know you, Lord, I pray that we would learn from this message here today, passage, what you want us to learn. Speak to our hearts. May you get glorified through it all. Rebuke and bind the devil this morning and remove any distractions from our minds and from this room this morning. Well, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Here in Luke chapter 2, we are looking at the one and only specific event that is recorded for us in the Bible that took place during the childhood years, the youth years, and the young adult years of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
One event recorded.
Right.
Now, the years I'm speaking of here, when I say childhood and youth and young adult years, is that period from the days of his infancy, from 40 days old, all the way to the time that he was 30 years old. That time period. Now, so far, Luke, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, has recorded for us three sets of events, and I won't review them too much. But the first set of events were the events that took place prior to the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. When the announcement of John the Baptist's birth came to Zechariah and Elizabeth, and the announcement of Christ's birth came to Mary in Luke chapter 2 as well, 1 and 2. And then the birth of John the Baptist, which was 6 months prior to the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Luke covered that set of events. Then he covered the events that took place on the night of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. How Mary and Joseph arrived there in Bethlehem, and of course Christ was born in the manger, and then the angels appeared to the shepherds that were abiding in the field, and those shepherds came to see the Christ and recognized who he was, and they told everybody about that. And then the third set of events that took place were the events shortly after the birth of Jesus Christ. Mary's purification time of 40 days, we covered that a few messages ago. Christ's circumcision at 8 days old. And then Joseph and Mary and Christ's trip to the temple in Jerusalem, where Joseph and Mary presented Jesus to the Lord. Those were the events that Luke had covered. Then notice in verse 39, if you would, we read that Joseph and Mary and the 40-day-old Christ, they leave Jerusalem and they return to the northern section of Israel, that place called Galilee, to their home in Nazareth. Look at verse 39. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. Then in verse 40, notice we get kind of a summary verse of Jesus Christ's entire childhood in Nazareth, from 40 days old, where the story left off, to 12 years old. All we read is, "And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him." Then we get to our text where we read that Jesus is now 12 years old, and this event that took place when Mary and Joseph and him were at the temple, deal with that here in a little bit. Then when that is finished, go down to verse 52, and we read another summary verse that summarizes an even longer period of time, and that is from the time he was 12 years old all the way to the time he was 30 years old. All we read is, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and with man." And then when Luke chapter 3 begins, Jesus Christ is 30 years old. Now we know that from verse 23 of chapter 3. Notice the Bible says, "And Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age." And so this morning we're going to park here on this event here that God records for us. Again, that one and only specific event that's recorded during those years. And we're going to ask ourselves, okay, what's going on here? What's happening? And why would God record this? It is a story of Jesus Christ's journey, again, at the age of 12 years old, to the temple in Jerusalem with Mary and Joseph. And the question is, why is God recording this one event? And what can you and I learn from it?
Amen.
Well, there's two ways that you and I can look at this story, and there's two ways I could have preached this message. One was we could look at it focusing on the Lord Jesus Christ and what he was like at the age of 12. In other words, look at him. We know last week we saw that Jesus is God in the flesh, right? He's 100% God and 100% man, a sinless man we know. That is a hypostatic union we talked about last week. And humanly, we know he grew physically, mentally, and spiritually, and socially. We read that he waxed strong in spirit. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. And so now he lands here at 12 years old, and we could say, what are some of the attributes that we find in the perfect 12-year-old? In other words, what could we expect from a person that's 12 years old? Well, we could say he was scripturally sound. We could see that he was subject to his parents.
Amen.
We could see that he steadily grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. So we could look at this story from that perspective. But we're not going to. I just gave you all I'm going to give you on that. Or we could look at it focusing on the parents. And what happened here and what they did here. I want to deal with it that way this morning. I'm going to look at Joseph and Mary in this situation and see what they did and by application what we can learn from it. So what's the story? Well, it's simple, isn't it? Mary and Joseph, they're in Nazareth with Jesus. And notice we read in verse 1, "Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover." So they journey there from Nazareth to the temple to observe what is called the Passover feast. Now, what exactly is that? Well, the Passover is one of three feasts that the Jews were required to go to Jerusalem to observe. One was the Passover, the other was the Pentecost, the other was the Feast of Booths. Now, the Passover included not only the Passover itself, but also a seven-day feast afterwards, which was called the Feast of Unleavened Bread. My point is, this was an eight-day feast. They'd go to Jerusalem, they would observe the Passover, and stay there for 7 days for that 8-day feast, the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Now, when they traveled to Jerusalem, they traveled in groups, in bunches, in caravans, neighbors and friends and relatives. They formed groups together because it was a long journey and you'd want the fellowship. And they would hike down there all the way from Nazareth down to Jerusalem. And they would be, you know, thieves would be along the way, so that would protect them and so forth. And they would help one another and encourage one another. And so they did that. And they attend the Passover and 8 days is finished. And after they fulfilled all of that, they start their journey home after the 8-day feast, and something happened. Somebody wasn't there.
Right.
It was their son.
Amen.
I understand he's God.
Right.
Jesus wasn't there. Now, put yourself in the place of Mary and Joseph and how they must have felt when they looked around after a while of traveling. They looked around and found out that the child that they were responsible for, that God entrusted with them, wasn't there. What a feeling. You all know that feeling. Some of you. I do. I know it at least twice over. I remember when we were at Mainland Baptist Church in the late 90s, we worked in the bus ministry. Of course, our kids were small. When my wife and I got saved, my youngest child, Jared, was 2 years old, and we immediately started working in the bus ministry. We liked it. It was awesome. It was great, you know, picking up kids, knocking on doors. As a family, we visited together. As a family, we ran the bus together, and we had our kids knocking on the doors to get the kids to come out, and we did that for years and so forth. Well, sad to say, there were several times, I say it again, several times that on the way home from church, because we would get, you know, sometimes 40 and 50, usually at least 35, 40 kids on the bus, sometimes up to 60 and so forth, and everybody's coming into the bus and bus is getting filled. We just kind of assumed that our kids were on the bus, and many times we left one or more. It was usually Jared. We came to find out later that the pastor's wife would give him some snacks or something, so he would end up hiding sometimes, and so he wouldn't have to get on the bus, and we wouldn't notice him, so he could sit back and eat snacks. We didn't know that till later. But in all the hustle and bustle of what's going on, I mean, we're on the bus, we're running a bus program, and we're halfway through dropping kids off, and someone would say, "Where's Jared?" Well, I thought he was here. I thought you had. That's not good. It is not good to forget a child somewhere. Some of you have this bumper sticker, I think, that says on your van, "Honk if a kid falls out," you know, one of those deals. That wasn't the only time. There's another time I remember that when it was Jared again, he was first born, and he was in a car seat. Now, it was a few years between, we had two girls and a boy, of course, Felicia, Justine, and Jared. And there was a few years between Justine and Jared, bigger space in between the first two. So we were out of diapers and out of the baby thing for a little bit there. And then, of course, Jared comes along, and so we got to get back into all that. And he's in the car seat, and I'm doing some errands and so forth. And I needed some work on my tire, on my car. I was losing air, and so we had a tire place by our house, and so I stopped there, didn't have an appointment. I thought, you know what, maybe he can just check it out, maybe he needs a plug, maybe it's something simple. And so I pulled up there behind where the cars were, they were working on it, left the car there, and I walked in. I said, "Hey, you know, I have a tire issue. Do you have time to fit me in, maybe look at the tire?" He said, "Tell you what, I'll get this car down, I'm done in a minute, I'll check it out, and we'll see what's going on with it." I said, "Good." He said, "You can go ahead and wait in the waiting room over there." I said, "Good." And so I walked in the waiting room. My car's out in the garage there with Jared in the back seat. And so I go in and I'm sitting there. And of course, you get in the waiting room, a few people around. And I'm sitting there like this, just kind of, you know, relaxing, wondering how long it's going to take. The TV's on. Everybody's watching TV. I'm getting into the TV show, whatever it was on, just looking at it, right? Then it hits me. I go. And I came running out there. I said, "My son's in the car." And I ran out there, and he was asleep in the back seat. I know I'd get arrested for that today. I get it. But my point is this: that wasn't good. It's never good to forget a child. But this child wasn't just an ordinary child.
Right.
This was the Son of God. This was God in the flesh. This was the Lord. This was the Savior of the world. The one that they knew, Mary and Joseph knew as their Savior.
Right. Amen.
And they forgot him. But don't we all forget him sometimes?
Right. Lord have mercy.
This morning I want to preach on this subject. When Christ is forgotten. Let's consider, number one, the reality of forgetting Christ. Again, Joseph and Mary, we read, his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the Feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it. And so understand here, let's look at the context of this. Joseph and Mary were entrusted by God with this child,
right,
with the Messiah.
Amen.
And they knew who he was.
Right.
They knew he was the Christ. You remember what the angel Gabriel said to Joseph in Matthew 1:21, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from his sins."
Amen.
They knew, he knew that this was the Savior of the world.
Right.
Mary knew as well. Do you remember what she said? Look back a page or so to Luke chapter 1 and verse 30. Look what the angel said to her. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. He
Amen.
Shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest."
Amen.
And then what Mary, look over at verse 46 of chapter 1, what Mary said about him, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." And she, Mary was humbled, and Joseph, I'm sure as well, was humbled by the fact that God would entrust them with his son.
Right. Amen.
And I would imagine for quite some time, especially at the beginning, they were extremely attentive to every little thing about that child. Because not only was he their first child, but because of who he was.
Amen.
I'd imagine at the beginning, boy, they were attentive to every little thing.
Right.
Excuse your personal illustrations, but I think they're kind of funny if you ask me. I remember when we first got home with our first child, Felicia. And we came home from the hospital, and I was one of those, you know, over-the-top parents a little bit, I would say. At least with the video camera I was. I mean, you remember them old video cameras, right? With the VHS, the big things like this, you know? And you put the VHS in there. How many know what I'm talking about? How many think I'm just some old guy that's just way outdated? Please don't raise your hand there. But at the time when we were trying to save money, and so we were living at her parents' house. They had a basement apartment down there. And so, you know, she had the child down in Summers Point Hospital. We drove back to Vineland. And I remember, you know, the drive home. I'm videoing the drive home. I mean, it was ridiculous. It really was. But I did. I was just excited about it. My wife was excited, too. I was just a goofy video guy. But when we got home, I remember, I really do, I remember coming in the house. And, of course, they were, "Oh, look at her." And they had seen her in the hospital. And we put her on the, you know, on the countertop there. And we're all looking at her there. And then, and you know, we go downstairs and we put her down and set her there. And, you know, all the birth and getting home, all that stuff's over. And we sit down. And there she is, you know, there. And we're like, okay, what do we do now? What do we do? I guess we just wait for her to do something. So we did. And, you know, any little peep out of her, ooh, 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 you know? What's going on? Oh, you need something? Any little cry? I mean, we were so attentive. I remember at first, and this is crazy after you have a few kids, but you know what I'm talking about. At first, when she cried at night, it was like, "I'll get her. No, I'll get her. No, I'll get her. No, let me get her." Well, that didn't last long. But that's what it was like. You know, you listen for every little sound because you're that attentive parent at the beginning. But again, after a few nights of that, it was like, "You get her. No, you get her. No, I'm not getting her. I got her last time. You got her last. No, I got her last time. You slept through it." Not the same then it was at the beginning. And I'm sure it was the same with Christ. When he was first there, you know, they're watching, they're so attentive. But now here it is, 12 years later, and they became careless.
Right.
And forgot him.
Right.
They didn't even know he was missing.
Right.
Do you know it's possible for all of us to forget Christ?
God help us.
Lost people purposefully forget Christ. When they see you coming with your track in your hand and you try to give that to them, many will say, not for me. Okay, that's all right for you, but I don't want that. They see us walking down the street about ready to knock on a door and then you got a Bible in your hand. Boy, if they see that, guess what? The blinds are getting closed and the doors are getting locked and they are hushing the dog and hushing the kids because they don't want to hear about them. Because of the conviction that's there.
Amen.
You see, people that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior naturally reject Him. That's the nature of man. Naturally try to push the Him out of their minds. They make a conscious effort to forget Him. They don't naturally want to hear about God. They don't want to hear the gospel naturally. But can I say this? That's a foolish thing to do.
Amen.
Because Jesus Christ loves you. He came to this earth to die for you, to die on the cross, to pay your sin debt in full. And if you will simply repent of your sin and trust Him as your personal Savior, you can have forgiveness of all your sins, and you can have a guaranteed eternal home in heaven through the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
If you're here today and you're not saved, don't try to forget about Him.
Right.
Don't try to push Him aside.
Amen.
He'll save your soul.
Praise.
And being saved is the best thing possible.
Amen.
That can happen in your life.
Praise the Lord.
So lost people purposefully forget Christ. But you know, saved people carelessly forget Christ.
Right.
Don't we?
Right.
I mean, at the beginning, when we first get saved, you know, we're very attentive to Him. I mean, we're excited. We got saved, you know. He forgave me of all my sins. I have a home in heaven. And we look forward to spending time reading our Bibles and learning about Him. We look forward to praying and going to church. And we look forward to having fellowship with Him and hearing His voice and allowing His word to speak to our hearts. But often as time progresses, the same thing that happened to Joseph and Mary can happen to us. We can forget about Him. We can forget about Him.
Right.
We drift. And our walk wanes. You know, God warned us of this possibility. Do you remember what He said in Deuteronomy chapter 6? And you can turn there if you like.
Right.
Deuteronomy chapter 6. When He was giving instructions to this generation for the land, He said about, you know the story, about teaching your children, right? Verse 6, excuse me, "In these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house," and so forth. But notice what He says in verse 10, "And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which He sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full."
Right. Amen.
"Then beware.
Right.
Lest thou forget the Lord."
God have mercy.
He could forget Him. He says, beware, when you get there and things are going good and your life is fine and there's no problems, there's a tendency in the lives of all of us to forget about God, to forget about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so as we read of Mary and Joseph forgetting Him, don't be too shocked by that. Because we can do the same thing. The reality of forgetting Christ. But then back to our text, and notice number two, the reasons we forget Christ. Why did they forget Him? Why do we forget Him?
Right.
Well, I'll tell you why they forgot Christ. The very same reasons that we forget Christ. It's right here in our text. I think you could see at least three reasons why they forgot Christ. Number one is this: we forget Christ when we rush through spiritual things.
Right. Amen.
Notice what we read in verse 43. And when they had fulfilled the days, it was done.
Right.
Passover was done. Feast of Unleavened Bread was done. It's all done. Notice what happens. As they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. Now again, the Passover was a very, very important Jewish feast.
Right.
It had been observed for centuries, ever since Exodus chapter 12. Well, it should have been. I know they forgot a lot of years. But what it was meant to do was meant to remind the Jews about God's deliverance from Egyptian bondage.
Amen.
And it is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ,
right,
the Messiah, and his deliverance from us, from our bondage of sin.
Amen.
But notice, immediately after this was over, Joseph and Mary, they were out of there. They were in a bigger hurry to leave Jerusalem than Jesus was. They returned, Jesus tarried.
Right.
And that's the way many Christians are. We rush through the most important things in life.
Right.
Spiritual
Amen.
Things.
Right.
We rush through our Bible reading. We rush through our prayer time. We want the church service to be over as quickly as possible. We have our watch lookers. That's why we don't have a clock up here. Amen. So you don't know how long I've held you hostage. I'm kidding. Maybe not so much. But God forbid, those watch lookers, if you will, God forbid if the preacher goes an extra 10 minutes. God forbid if we sing all the verses to the hymn. God forbid if we have somebody come up and give a testimony or two. We want to rush through everything. And when we do that, understand what's going on in our heart. We've forgotten what this is all about.
Right.
About the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I've always wondered, and this is going to go over like a lead balloon, but I wonder, why is it we have no problem spending 3 hours watching a football game?
Amen. Good.
Why is it we have no problem spending 2 hours watching TV?
Right.
Or a movie? Or some YouTube videos? Or spending hours of the day on social media. Why is it we have no problem doing that? But boy, when it comes to spiritual things, we got to rush through that. Man, let's get it over with. We treat it like it's a trip to the dentist or something.
God have mercy. Amen.
You know why? Because you're missing what it's about.
That's right. Amen.
It's about Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You see, instead, we should be listening for the voice of God
right.
when the preacher's preaching. We
Amen.
Should be listening to the voice of God as we're singing those hymns. We should be allowing God to work in our hearts through the words of the hymn. We should be letting God work in our heart as we hear testimonies of people and what God did in their hearts. When our heart's right, we won't forget Jesus.
Praise Jesus.
But
Amen.
When we do, we want to rush through spiritual things. There's another reason I noticed. You see, we forget Jesus when we rush through spiritual things, and they did. And then number two, when we get caught up in the busyness of life. I don't think Joseph and Mary were bad people. They were not. God used them. They were wonderful people, no doubt. I believe they were good people, but they were busy people. Can I put it this way? At least at this point, too busy? And I think that describes most of Americans today, most of our marriages, most of our families today. We are just too busy. You see, the reason they forgot Jesus was because they had their minds on other things. I mean, they had to get back home. They had 6 other kids they had to deal with. They had a long journey ahead of them. Joseph had to get back to his carpentry business. Maybe there was some jobs he had to do there in Nazareth that he hadn't finished, that he set aside while they went to go visit the Passover. And so there were a lot of things on their minds. And by the way, those were legitimate concerns. But they were too occupied with those things.
Right. Amen.
And it caused them to forget Christ.
Right.
You know, the average family today, it's crazy. It's crazy busy. I mean, most families, you have two spouses working. You're taking the kids to school or from school or to this or to that. And then all the grocery shopping you have to do. And then all the household duties with the cooking and the laundry and the yard work and the house repair and all of that. But understand something. We can become so consumed with our daily lives that we forget Christ.
God forbid.
It's interesting when we're trying to cut things out. That seems to be the thing that gets cut out.
Lord have mercy. Right.
You know, we have so many, quote, unquote, time-saving devices today, don't we? Boy, those smartphones really help us out. I mean, they're time-savers with all those apps, the things you can do with them. Do you understand what's happened? Those so-called time-saving devices have caused us to cram more things into our lives than ever before. And the best things get crowded out.
Lord have mercy.
Our time with God.
Right.
We're too busy. Listen, if you don't have time to read your Bible, if you say, I don't have time
Amen.
To pray, or I don't have time to be faithful to church, I don't have time to serve in a ministry, then you need to cut something out of
Amen.
Your life and not cut
Amen.
Those things out.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Because you're going to end up in a place you don't want to be.
Right.
Listen, preachers are busy too.
Right.
There's always a soul to save. There's always Amen. Another visit to make. There's always another shut-in. And it'd be easy to be caught up in even the things of the ministry and forget about what it's all about. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I need to, like everybody else, I need to spend time with Him.
Praise Jesus.
I cannot and you cannot forget about Christ.
Right. Amen.
But they did. And then there's a third thing I noticed. Not only did we forget about Christ when we rush through spiritual things and we get caught up with the busyness of life. Thirdly, when we take His presence for granted.
Lord,
look what happens in verse 44. But they supposing Him to have been in the company.
Right.
Joseph and Mary, they didn't make sure that Christ was with them before they left. They just figured, well, He's got to be here. Certainly He's here. They just assumed He was. Can I say this morning that is a terrible mistake?
Right. Amen.
I understand He never leaves us nor forsakes
Praise
us. I get that. But again, sometimes it's not that He's not with us. It's that we're not with Him. And when we assume He's there, if you will, I mean, just because you're saved, because you're serving God and you're attending church, doesn't mean that you haven't forgotten about Jesus.
Right.
You can come in here and I can come in here and go through all the motions. I can say all the right things. And when I walk out of here, just like Mary and Joseph left Jerusalem and forgot about Him, we can do the same thing. Thinking as if somehow Jesus Christ is only in this building. He's everywhere.
Amen. That's right.
And we can't presume His presence. Well, I'm saved. He's there. I know He's there. I know He's there. You know. And you know what I mean by that. You see, if we're not actively seeking Him,
right.
if we are
Amen.
Not actively spending time with Him, if we don't have an right. active walk with Him,
Amen.
We cannot presume His blessings.
Right.
We cannot presume His power on our life.
Amen.
We cannot presume that we are right with God.
Amen.
You remember Samson? He presumed that, didn't he?
Right.
He presumed God's blessing was upon him. Judges 16:20 says this, "He wist not that the Lord was departed from him." And so again, if you're not actively pursuing Christ, then you have forgotten Him, because it takes a deliberate effort from all of us to not forget Him.
Right. Amen.
So I ask you this morning, what place does He have in your life? Do you walk consciously in His presence throughout the day? Do you have an active walk with Him, reading your Bible and praying and spending time with Him and living out the Christian life? Don't forget him. And number three, not only the reality of forgetting Christ, the reasons we forget Christ. Number three, the results of forgetting Christ. So what happens when we forget him? Well, what happened to them? Look at verse 44. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him amongst their kinsfolk and acquaintance. So with this caravan that went to Jerusalem, they're looking around for a day, trying to find him. And when they found him not, they turned back to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple. What were the results of forgetting Christ? Notice the time it consumed. It cost Joseph and Mary at least 4 days of their lives because of their departure from Christ. And by the way, it will cost us time as well. When we live our lives without the Lord Jesus Christ, understand what we're doing. We're wasting our lives.
God help us.
Our lives will be like the Israelites in the wilderness.
Right.
No purpose.
Right.
No peace, no joy. You see, when we forget him, we wonder, well, I don't understand. You know, I'm going to church and I'm doing, it seems like the right things, but I don't have the peace. I don't have the joy. I don't seem to have God's blessing upon my life. Maybe because you don't have a walk with him and you've forgotten him. We can be doing all the right things,
right,
if you will,
amen,
and not be walking with the Lord. And so the time it consumed, you know, and we may try to find that fulfillment in things and other stuff and material things or events and so forth, but we never will. There's no greater joy when we're walking with him. Imagine Solomon the king, I mentioned this in Sunday school, who had every earthly thing imaginable. He said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. And so it consumed the time it consumed. Then look at verse 48. I also notice a second result is the trouble it caused.
Right.
And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Look what she says here. Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. When we leave the Lord Jesus Christ out of our daily lives, our lives, they're going to be filled with sorrow and misery and turmoil, especially if you're here today and you're not saved and you leave him out of your life. If you don't trust him as your Savior, that's going to cost you your eternal soul.
God have mercy.
Why would you do that?
Right.
When salvation's a free gift.
Right.
He paid it all. There's nothing we have to do except receive it as our personal Savior. Don't make the mistake of forgetting Christ.
Amen.
And those of us that do know him, we leave him out, life goes on, and we wonder why our marriage is the way it is. We wonder why our kids didn't grow up the way that they should have grown up. And all this turmoil is here. There'll be great sorrow in our lives.
Right.
When we forget Christ, don't forget
right.
him.
Amen.
And then one last thing, we're done. Not only the reality of forgetting Christ, not only the reasons for forgetting Christ, but not only the results, but notice the return to Christ. What did they do when they found out? Notice verse 45. And when they found him out, look at this, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him.
Praise Jesus. Amen.
And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. He was where he should have been. He was about his father's business. And so when Joseph and Mary suddenly became aware of the fact, wait a minute, there's a problem here. Jesus is not here. What did they do? They immediately went seeking him. That's the right
Amen.
Thing to do. They did it promptly. They did it diligently.
Amen.
And they did it earnestly. They went back to where he was and they got him.
Praise Jesus.
It's interesting that he didn't leave.
Amen.
They did.
Right.
He was there waiting for him. It's the same with me and you.
Praise the Lord.
If you're living a life where Jesus Christ is somewhere out here, he's not a part of your daily life, or it's kind of like this separate thing where he's here at church, but not in my daily life. Listen, you can change that today.
Hallelujah.
Just go back and get him.
Right.
Find him. He's there. Get back into the Bible.
Amen.
Get back into prayer. Get back into spending time with him. Get back into realizing that we come to church to meet him in the preaching, to meet with him in the songs, to meet with him in the fellowship, to allow him to do a work in our lives that he wants to do. Don't rush through spiritual things. Don't get caught up with the busyness of life. Don't assume, well, I'm saved, so everything is fine. Not necessarily. If you do not have a daily walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, and a relationship and fellowship with him outside of this place, then you've forgotten him. But he's there with outstretched arms and nail-pierced hands,
thank you, Jesus,
saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
Amen.
I'm here for you. Run back to Jesus.
Amen.
Get back with him.
Praise the Lord.
Today.